Today's shiur is Masech to Gittin Daf Yud Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Tez Zayin Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Rabbi Bachana Cholish. Rabbi Bachana took ill, all agabei Rabbi Yehuda for Rabbi Lashul Abay. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi went to visit him. And Bominei, and they asked him the Shaila that we've been discussing already from the previous shiur. Shnaim Shaviu get Medina Suyam. If 2 people bring a get from Medina Tzayam, what is the halacha? Tzrichim shiyam b'fanein nechtav b'fanein nechtav. Do they have to say b'fanein nechtav b'fanein nechtav? Or ain't tzrichim? Or do they do not have to say b'fanein nechtav b'fanein nechtav? And as the Ben Yoyada points out, our Gemara is teaching us that when someone is ill, the best thing that we could do for him is speak to him divrei Torah. And that's why when Rabbi B'Bachana was sick, the people who came to visit him spoke to him the very Torah that could bring to him a refuah. He actually goes on to quote the Bnei Yisachar, who says that particularly the type of Torah that could help a person who's sick get well is the very Torah that involves a Kal V'Chomer. And the Bnei Yisachar bases this on what it says in Chumash, because we find that Miriam becomes a mitzayra, and Moshe Rabbeinu is mispalel, kel no refon Allah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please heal her, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers Moshe Rabbeinu with a kal v'chomer. Im avia yorak b'faneo, haloiti kolem shivas yomim. A kal v'chomer explains the Bnei Yisachar has the power to bring a refuah. And here too, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the Kal V'Chomer was used to answer this question, and therefore that's how Rabbi B'Bachana is going to be healed. And Amalahem, and that's actually what Rabbi B'Bachana told them, ain't Shlichim. There is no need for if two Shlichim bring a get to say B'Fanei Nachtam B'Fanei Nachtam, because Ma Ilu Yarmim Fanenu Girsha. They have a Migui. They could have always said that we actually witnessed the divorce. And if they would say that, since they're 2 Edim, Miloi Behemne, would they not be believed? And with that Migui, that's why we believe them. So I saw that the Mefarshim ask, why do we have to rely on a Migui? The point that they're making is that they're 2 people and they're saying testimony. Why do we have to rely on a Migui? So Mefarshim answer that because these 2 shlichim who bring a get are noigim adover, they're partial, they don't want to be disqualified. So if not for the fact that they had a migui, we would not believe them. It's the migui that gives them the ability to be believed. And actually I saw the Paiskim discuss this concept of edim on a get who are nogei bedover, who are partial, who have an interest, if they're kosher to be edim. A shaila that I saw was that there was a husband who refused to give his wife a get. And there was an individual who told the wife, I, for a fee, will be able, I think, to be prevail and have your husband write you a get. Which indeed happened. And this person participated in being an aide on the get. And the question is he a nogei bedover? Because if the get comes through, he's going to receive his fee. And I saw Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses the shail in the Cheshukei Chemed, and he says, lahalocha, it's acceptable, but certainly lechatchila, such a person should not be an aide on the get. He, in fact, brings down another interesting shaila. He says, there was once a yeshiva bacher who wasn't succeeding so well. And as Rosh Hashiva said, that if you start acting and learning properly, I will make sure that you find a very fine kala, you'll find a very nice girl to marry. And the boy turned around and became an excellent bacher, and the Rosh Hashiva, and he found a very nice shidduch. And by the wedding, they asked Rosh Hashiva to be an aide by the Kedushin. Now this Rosh Hashiva was a Negei Bedover, because he had a personal stake in making sure that this boy should get married. He had given his word that he would help this boy find a good shidduch. And the question is he considered a Negei Bedover? So the Gemara says, they asked this question to Rabbi Baba Chana. Ad hachi, also chavra, a Persian man came, shoklu l'sharga mekamayu, he took the lamp away from them, And as Rashi explains, the Persians, when they had a holiday, would make sure that there were no candles, there were no lamps lit anywhere but in their places of worship. And that's why he took the lamp away. Rashi explains that the Chavra is a Persian. Tosfos disagrees and says the Chavra are not Persians. Chavra are a different group of people, not the Persians. Others explain that the Yavetz explains this way, that the Chavra are Persians, but they're not the regular Persian citizens, but rather they represent the priests of the Persian nation who insisted that no candle be lit in the houses of in anyone's house on the time of their holiday. In fact, the Chasam Sofer says that this Gemara is the source where some people have a minig of nittel, that on the night of the Christian holiday nobody learns Torah, because he says the minig was that they didn't allow candles or lamps to be lit in houses, and therefore Torah could not be learned that night, and that's how the minig of nittel actually began. The Ksav Sofer explains that what is the connection of our Gemara to the previous Gemaras we've been learning. So he says a beautiful pshat. He says at the end of the previous year we learned that Rabbi Yehuda said that the reason why Chazal, like Rabbi taught us at the beginning of the Masechta, said that we have to say b'fani nechtav, is because we're concerned that people don't know the halacha of lishma. So we learned at the end of yesterday's shir that achas shalomdu, after they became aware of the halacha lishma, they still insisted, Chazal still insisted that b'fani nechta be said, shema yachsa hadova l'kulkuloi. Maybe he'll come back to a time where people will not remember the halacha of lishma. So he says the Ksav Sofer, that's the connection now, Gemara. We see there were a time where the Persian people insisted that we not learn Torah. So the Gezerah of Shema Yachsa Davul Kekuloi, that concern is a very real concern. Amrachmana, so when the Persian did this, Sarava Babachana exclaimed, Oy Betulach Deba Esav. If we have to be under someone's dominion, either we should be under the dominion of Hashem, or we should be under the dominion of Esav. Why specifically Esav is a preferable? So Mefarshim give two explanations. Esav, we know, was the son of Yitzchak. So Esav has a very worthy yichus. So we're going to have to be under the dominion of a different nation. It should be the dominion of Esav. Another pshat is that we know that Yitzchak, when he gave the brachas, said Vahoya Kashatarid Ufrakta Ulcha Ulamaltsavarecha. Esav can only prevail over Klal Yisrael is if Klal Yisrael are not following the mitzvahs of Hashem. But if we learn Torah and do mitzvahs, then he can't prevail. And that's why Esav is the preferable choice, that we should be under his dominion, and therefore we know that we can always get out of it if we start learning Torah and do mitzvahs. In fact, I saw that the Yavet says, we know that we say in Tefillah, HaPayrei Sukkah Shalom Aleinu. We should be under the protection of Shalom. Shalom, we know, is the Shem Hashem, is the name of Hashem. Shalom, the Yavet says, is the Gematria of 376. Says, so what Rabbi Baba Chana said, is the best place is to be under Sukkah Shalom, under your protection. If we can't be under your protection, then we should be under the dominion of Esav. Esav is also the Gematria 376. Ask the Gemara, Lememra Daramoi Mala Parsoi, doesn't mean that the Romans are better than the Parsoi. Vatana Rabchia, Maidik Sivel Kim, Haven Darka, For who yodas makom HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the best place for us. Yodei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Yisrael she'eni yicholim l'kavu gzeres armoim, that we particularly have a difficulty accepting the decrees of the Romans. And as the Mefarshim explained, since the Romans are aware that their dominion of us, over us, depends on our not being able to learn Torah and do mitzvahs, they make particularly harsh decrees to prevent us from learning and doing mitzvahs. So their decrees are specifically severe, and that's why Omad v'Higla Oysom L'Bavol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in Galus Bavol rather under Roman dominion. Answers the Gemara Loikasha. Before the Persians came to Bavel, a Golus Bavel is far better than a Golus under Romans. However, after the Persians arrived in Bavel, and they are particularly bad people, the combination of the Persians and the Bavel is much worse than the Romans. So the Mishnah said, Echer Omer b'fari Nechdam, and one said b'fari Nechdav, Mishnayim Omer b'fanenu Nechdam, and two people say b'fanenu Nechdam, the halach is that it's kosher. Omer b'ami Omer b'yotran, Loi shanu, elish aget yotz midei yad eid ksiva. When is this halacha applicable? That if the person who said b'fari Nechdav was the shliach who brought the get, so now we have a situation that the shliach, who has special authority that we believe him, was the one that said b'fanei nechtav. Tush edim said b'fanei nechtam. Whenever we have two edim, we have a perfect confirmation on the chsima, and therefore we have everything taken care of. Sheget yoytz mitachsi ad eksiva. The person who delivered the get said b'fanei nechtav, and that's why v'nasu shnayim hazeh, since he has the authority, the shlich has the special authority, that he is considered like two edim, so the nechtav part was taken care of. Ukshnayim hazeh, since two people testified to the veracity of the chsima, so we have two edim on that, and that's why it's going to be kosher. However, were to be avol mitach sidei ed chsima, if the person who's saying b'fanei nechtav is not the shliach to bring the get, so therefore he doesn't have the authority like two, and therefore we only have one non-shliach saying b'fanei nechtav, then the get would be possible, because we need testimony, explains Rashi and the Ritva, that the get was written l'shma. And here we don't have it, because we don't have two people saying it, and a person who's not a shliach needs two people to say it. The Maram Shik asks, here, even if we're saying that the one person said b'fanei nechtav, he has the power like two, and then we have two edim saying b'fanei nechtav, so we have a perfect situation, we know that the Torah says, "Al-pi shnei edim yokum dover, dover v'loi chatzi dover." An Eidus has to be able to say the entire testimony, and if he only says a partial testimony, he's disqualified. So why here, where Eidim say b'fanei nechtav, one person says b'fanei nechtav, and another set says b'fanei nechtav, can they combine? So Ram Shik answers, the Torah begins the pasuk, apishnei Eidim yokum dover. Where is the halacha, dover, v'loi chatzi dover, when it has to be the beginning of the pasuk, Api shnei edim, when you need two edim? Here, as we just explained, there's a special din that even one aid, if he is the shliach, is trusted. Where we don't have the first part of the pasuk required, where we don't require Api shnei edim, we don't require the yokum dover either. Alma kasover, obviously we see that this Tana holds that Shnayim Shaviyu get them din asayam. If two people bring a get, Tzrichin Shem Refanei Nechtav Refanei Nechtam. Because if the halacha was that when two people bring a get, we don't have to say Refanei Nechtav Refanei Nechtam, so what is the entire discussion here? We have two Edim bringing the get, and two people never require Refanei Nechtav Refanei Nechtam. Omalei Rav Asi. So obviously, even two people bringing a get have to say b'fanei nachtav b'fanei nachtav. Amalei Rav Asi asks Rav Asi if this is indeed the halacha that two people still have to say b'fanei nachtav b'fanei nachtav, because lishma has to be verified. And even if two people bring the get, we need that to be verified. El Mata Resh Diktani, we learned earlier in our Mishnah, Shnaim Amr Faneinu Nichtav. If two people say Befanei Nechtam, and only one says Befanei Nechtam, the Tanakhama holds its possible. Rabbi Yehuda Machsha, Rabbi Yehuda holds its kosher. Obviously, the case would be that Filu Get Yoitz Mitach Sudesh Naim. Even if two people are bringing the get, still, pastly Rabbonin. Because according to Rav Ami, the Rabbonin always require the funny nechtam, be said, even if two people bring the get, because we have to verify that the get was written lishma. Ask the Gemara, so he says, Amalei in? He says, yes, indeed that would be the case. And as Rishonim point out, here we now begin the Shakla Vitaria that actually we had in the previous year. So if so, how will we understand Rav Yehuda's opinion that says that the get is kosher? And the Gemara in the previous year explained how Rav Yehuda will interpret the Mishnah. However, says the Gemara, a different dialogue between Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Zeman Ashkir the Yasi Vekama, Rav Asi once found Rav Ami that was saying that filo get yoit mitach sitei edich sima, even if the get is produced by the two edim who could testify that they saw the signing and they're the shlichim, the get is kosher. Alma Kosover, obviously he held that shnayim shavir get b'mdina sayam, if two people deliver the get, the halacha is ain't shlichim shayim b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. There is no need to say b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. Omale Rav Asi asks Rav Asi elmat, if that's indeed the case, then when two people bring the get, there is no need to say b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. And the Torah points out that even though we're saying that when two people bring the get, b'fanei nechtam doesn't have to be said, that's only if these two people are not related to each other. However, were these two people, these two shlichim that are bringing the get, related to each other, so they can't combine to be an edus? So why is the halacha that if two people bring a get, we don't have to say b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam? Because we always have edim available to verify the get. But if they're related to each other, they're not considered a legitimate pair of edus, and therefore they cannot combine to be an edus. And then everybody would agree that even when two people bring the get, you have to say b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. Asks him if we're learning that when two people bring the get, b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam doesn't have to be said. El me'ato reish diktani, we learned in the reish, shnayim amr b'faneinu nechtav. If two people say b'fanei nechtav, v'echar amr b'fanei nechtam, and one says the b'fanei nechtam, the loch is possible. The Tanakam, the Chacham hold, it's possible. Rabbi Yehuda Machsha, Tama, what's the reason? Then get Yoitz Mitach Sudesh Naim. Because we're referring to a situation where we don't have two people bringing the get. The only one that is a Shliach is only the one that's speaking about the signature. And since he didn't speak about the writing, and as we explained so many times, there's a gzera that if we're relying only on one person to confirm the get, we're going to maybe make a mistake that we're always going to rely on one person for kiyum. Therefore, Chazal said that not only must he say b'fanei nechtam, he also has to say b'fanei nechtav. Here, since the shliach only said b'fanei nechtam and didn't say b'fanei nechtav, it's possible. However, what would be the halacha get yoitz b'dech steshneim? If two shlichim brought the get, then machshir rabbanon, then even the rabbanon would say that in this case the get is valid. Amalei, so he said, in actually, that is the din. Says the Gemara Zimra Amalan Hachi. In the previous Gemara, you told us that even when two shlichim bring the get, you have to say b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam, and otherwise, and it has to be said properly, and otherwise the chachamim will hold its possible. Amalei, yes, it is shlai taken. This is a peg that should not be shaken loose. The final psak is that two people who bring a get do not have to say b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtam. And the Gemara explains what is Pshat, yes, that he shloi timat. He says, we've been learning a shakl v'tarya already for two dafim about two people who bring a get. Must they say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, or not? He says, what happens if you have a nail knocked into a wall and you keep on moving the nail because you want to have it in the right space? The hole becomes too large that the nail should fit in. The nail will constantly fall out. What will you have to do? You'll have to pick an entirely new spot on the wall that the nail was never banged into, that should be where you should put the nail. Here too, the Gemara has been going back and forth. What is the halacha if two people bring a get? Do we have to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam, or do we not? So the Gemara ends that we don't have to have b'fanei nechtam in such a place. Knock it in a new place which hasn't been gone back and forth and back with. This is the final halacha. Says the Mishnah, nechta b'yoyim v'nechta b'yoyim. If the get was written by day and also signed on the same day, or b'layla v'nechta b'layla, if the get was written and signed by night, the Ratvaz quotes an Arzarua who says that a get should not be written by night. However, the Ratvaz says that our Mishnah clearly indicates that a get can be written by night, and therefore the Ratvaz says, in a situation where we need the get to be written, there's a concern that the husband will leave without writing the get, we can write a get by night. He says we should do it maybe perhaps a little quietly in respect to the Arzarua's opinion. Or Belila, if the get was begun to be written by night and Nechtam HaYom was signed the following day, since in Jewish law the day follows the night, so it's all one date, the halacha is that in all these situations the get is kosher. However, b'yoyim, if the get was written by day, the nechtam b'layla, and it was signed on the following night, here the Tanakama, the Chachama, hold that it's possible, as we're going to explain in the Gemara why. Rav Shimon, on the other hand, holds that the get is kosher. Shehayer Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon agrees that kol hagitin, all documents, shenechtavu b'yoyim v'nechtavu b'layla, if they're written by day and signed by night, by all other documents, Rav Shimon agrees, psulim, that those documents are invalid. Chutz megitei nashim, begitei nashim, he's not machbid. And as the Rishonim explain, why is Rav Shimon not concerned that if we're going to say that such a get is kosher, all other documents will also say a kosher that way? Where Rav Shimon clearly, we just learned, agrees that all other documents will be disqualified. It says, by all other documents, the time of writing is really not that important. What's important is the time of signing. So therefore, if we have a date, the date of writing, that date is an incorrect date. But by Gittin, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, Rav Shimon holds that the time of writing has very significant relevance lahalacha. And therefore, when an aid is signing a shtar and the date of the get is the date of the writing, he isn't testifying to anything false, and therefore cannot be confused with all other shtaris, and therefore a get, Rav Shimon holds such a get, the nechta b'yoy v'nechta b'layla, is kosher, even though all other documents would be possible. The Rishonim also discuss according to whom the opinion is our Mishnah going, because we quoted the machlokes of Rameya and Rabbi Lezer, if Eidech Sima Karti or Eidem Asira Karti. So certainly according to Rameya, that Eidech Sima Karti, the Eidem that sign on the get, are what make the get. So we have to follow the time that they're signing is very relevant. But according to Rebbe Lezer, who holds that Eidem Asira Karti, so doesn't really make a difference if there's something erroneous regarding the signing. So some Rishonim indeed say that Rebbe Lezer, this Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rebbe Lezer. However, other Rishonim say that our Mishnah even follows the opinion of Rebbe Lezer for two reasons. One is because the Eidem Asira may forget the date and they're going to come to rely on the date that they find in the shtar. Or, as we've learned previously, even Rebbe Lezer, who holds Eidem Asira Karti, that means we don't have to have Eidech Sima. and the get could still be a kosher get. But if we're going to have Eidech Sima on the get, those Eidech Sima have to do it correctly, and if they don't do it correctly, the get would be invalid. Says the Gemara, Itma, why did Chazal require that a date be written in a get? So Rishonim, before we get into the reasons that the Gemara attempts to give, ask a number of questions why it should be obvious that a date should be required in a get. Tosfos asks, because a woman is entitled to support from a husband, and if there was no date in the get, then the woman could always, then the husband could always perhaps claim that he divorced the wife earlier and deny her the support that she is entitled to. So Taisa says, the Rishonim say, for that we would not require a date be written in a get, because the woman could always bring the Eidim Sira, who he just explained are really the people who determine when the get was valid. Or, since the woman is the one holding the get, we're not concerned that the husband is going to say an earlier date, because she's holding the get, and she will bring the get and show what the true date was. However, the Mashah asks just the opposite. Why aren't we concerned that the wife is going to continue asking for support even after the time of the get? So that's why we have to have a date in the get. So the Kanya Re'im gives a very interesting answer. He says, we know that a Jewish divorce is initiated by the husband. So the husband is the one that created the situation, and therefore we're not concerned about his loss. But the Mashah explains, again, since it's the woman holding the get, so she's the one that's going to bring the get or not bring the get to whatever is her favor, and therefore the date of the get will not be helpful regarding this concern. But then the Rishonim and Achronim discuss, we know that the Gemara Masech Damakis teaches us that a date is very important, because we're concerned that if we're going to be mazim the Eidim, one of the ways we're mazim Eidim is by asking them what date do you say it happened, and then the people who are mazim them say, how could you say that you were here and did this on a specific date, imanu yisim, on this date you were with us elsewhere. So in order to be able to imazim the Eidim on the get, we need a date. So that's why there's a requirement of a date and a get. Why doesn't the Gemara obviously give that answer? So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that, of course, normally a date is very important. But as we've been learning in this Masechta, Mishimiguna Kilbar Abaran, Chazal were particularly lenient when it came to writing Gittin, and therefore perhaps here too, Chazal would be lenient that even without the date, the get should be valid. Another teretz is that in order to do Hazama, we have to be able to fulfill the pasuk that says, Vasisim loy kasha zomam lasis lochiv, that we punish the Eidim with the punishment that they wanted to inflict on someone else. Say the Mefarshim, that here, kasha zomam is not possible. If they were false witnesses, so they're going to have to get divorced because they wanted to cause someone else to get divorced. That doesn't make any sense. And therefore, since kasha zomam is not possible, the entire concept of hazoma doesn't apply here. But another tirtz that many mefarshim use is that we don't say kasha zomam only when witnesses are giving oral testimony. Here, however, we're not referring to oral testimony. We're rather referring to what's written in the shtar, and to such a situation there is no hazoma. So therefore, ask the Gemara, why did Chazal put zman into a get? So Rabbi Yochanan says, "Mishabasa choisoi." Someone is married to his niece, and his niece had an adulterous relationship. He's going to manipulate the date in the get to say that this relationship took place after they got divorced, when actually it took place prior to their getting divorced, in order to save his niece from getting killed for being an Ashes Ish, who had an adulterous relationship. So Tosfos on Daf Yud Ches asks, that's fine in the time when there was Mises Bezdin administered. But nowadays that we don't have Mises Bezdin administered, so why is there a concern of Shambasa Chaisoi? So one answer is that even if we don't have a concern about Mises Bezdin, we still have a concern of Mamzerim. And he doesn't want that this woman's children should be declared Mamzerim. Another teretz is that we believe that Mashiach is coming every moment. And when Mashiach comes, Mises Bezdin will be reinstituted, and that's why he wants to protect this woman from that situation. Another teretz is that he doesn't want this woman declared a zayna, who should not be allowed to marry a kohen. Or the halacha is as follows: if a woman who is married to a man had an adulterous relationship, that man can never live with that woman. But if she had that relationship after they got divorced, then as long as she didn't marry another man, he could take her back as his wife. So it's to his benefit to say that this relationship took place after they were divorced, because he always has in the back of his mind that he may want to take back this woman as his wife. I saw the Mefarshim explain why specifically are we concerned if it's Bas Achoisoi, if his wife is his niece. So I saw the Mefarshim explain that the Gemara says, Roy Bonim Doimim Lacheho Ein. Most children are like the wife's brothers, like the mother's brothers. If this woman, who is his niece, his bas achoisoi, is a woman who's declared to be an adulterous woman, this woman is similar to him, because he's the achei ha'aim, he's her mother's brother. So people are going to say that that's the type of woman she is, since of sister's children are similar to me, my sister's children are similar to me, they're going to say that that's the type of person I am. So the person isn't even that much concerned about his niece's reputation, he's concerned about his own reputation, which is very similar to his niece's reputation, and therefore we're concerned that he's going to lie to the date of the get. Rish Lakish Amar, Rish Lakish says the concern is Mishum Peiris. The halacha is that a husband is allowed to sell the peiris of his husband's allowed to sell the peiris of the nichsi malug that his wife brings into the marriage, and here the husband's going to continue selling those peiris, and he's going to say that this took place while they were still married. So Ramban asks, why should we have such a concern? The woman, as soon as they got divorced, should have taken back her nichsei malug, and she wouldn't have this concern. So because of that, Chazal require a date in the get. So the Rishonim answer, the Rish Lakish concern is about the peiris that the husband eats or sells from when the get is written until it's given to her. So because the halacha is that once the get is written, we're going to discuss this more on the Beis, he's no longer entitled to the peiris. And he's going to delay giving the get so he could still have those peiris. So to protect her, that's why we put a clause, we require a date in the get. So it's asked Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. Obviously, the entire purpose of writing the get is only to protect the woman's position. So what will be the halacha if the woman says that, you know what, the date in the get is only here for my protection, I could forego that special rule? Could the woman say that? Says Rabbi Chanan that once Chazal instituted that a date has to be written in a get, then the date becomes a crucial part of the get. And even in a case, and therefore the woman has no right to say that I don't require a date in the get. Tosfos also asks that according to Rav Yochanan's explanation, that the concern is Shema Yechapa Bas Achoisai, maybe she was Mizana as an Eishes Ish, why don't we rely on the chazaka? And the chazaka is that she's an Eishes Ish, and therefore there should be no issue of Shem Yechapa Abas HaChaisa. So Tosfos gives two terutzim. Right now we know she's divorced, so we can't rely on the chazaka when we know she's divorced. And furthermore, Tosfos says, since this woman has a cheskas kashrus, that she acts morally, we would rely on that to combine to say that she's did not do anything wrong. And the Shev Shemaitz explains that we should not understand that Tosfos is saying two separate terutzim, that she no longer has a chazaka because she already has a get, or she has a cheskas kashrus, because both of those chazakas are weak. Both of those terutzim are weak terutzim. The teretz, a chazaka always exists, even though there's something that's questioning the chazaka. And therefore, and similarly, the cheskas kashrus is not a strong cheskas kashrus here, because we know that she had a relations. And therefore, the Shev Shemaitz explains what Tosfos means to say, that we combine all of these factors. We know that she was an Eishes Ish, and we know that she no longer has the cheskas kashrus, that's why she should not be believed. Says the Gemara, Rish Lakish my Tamil Aramak Rav Yochanan. Why did Rish Lakish agree with Rav Yochanan's explanation of Shem Yechapa Abasa Chayson? Amlok Snus Lo Shchicha. That a woman would have an adulterous relationship is not really Shchiach. Asks the Rishonim, the first Mishnah Masechet Ksubis teaches us that a woman, Psula Nisas Le Yom Ravi, Psula should get married Wednesday, on Yom Ravi, when Beis Din is in session Thursday morning, because maybe she had an adulterous relationship. I hear was saying they were not choshish v'znus, so a number of terutzim are given. Here we need a znus that has edim and has sraw. That's unlikely. There the concern is that she had a relationship. We don't require edim and sraw. Another terutz is there the woman is only an arusa. Here the woman is a full-fledged Eishes Ish. A full-fledged Eishes Ish to have an adulterous relationship is lo shchicha. An arusa is more shchich. Another teretz is there Chazal made a rule for all women, that all women should get married on Yom Revi. Of course, amongst all of the population, there's always going to be a possibility that there were women that had immoral relationships. Especially as the Rishonim say, as we learned at the beginning of Masechet Ksubis, the Gemara is even referring there, that if there was a relationship, ba'oinus. Here, however, we're speaking about one specific woman, that this one specific woman had an adulterous relationship, and because of that we should require a date in the get, is unlikely. Rabbi Yochanan asked the Gemara, my tamo amik Rish Lakish, because of Peiris? So he says, answers Rabbi Yochanan, Ksover Rabbi Yochanan holds Yesh L'Bal Peiris, the husband anyway is entitled to the Peiris, even if the get was already written at Shas Nesina until the get was actually given from the husband to the wife. And therefore, even if the get was written, the husband can continue eating those Peiris, and the wife is not being cheated out of what she deserves, because he indeed is still entitled to the Peiris. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rish Lakish, according to Rish Lakish, that says the reason is because of Peiris. Meshem Hachi Kamach Shirav Shimon. We can understand Rav Shimon's opinion. Since the husband, even if the get wasn't signed on the day it was written, the woman could use the get to get Peiris, because according to Rav Shimon, as soon as the get is written, he's no longer entitled to the Peiris. Ela Rav Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that the concern is because of Shem Techapa Basa Chaisai, my time Rabbi Shimon, why does Rabbi Shimon not require the get? Why is Rabbi Shimon not concerned that they may have manipulated the dates on the get? And therefore, why does he hold that a predated get is valid? A predated get, according to Rish Lakish, is not a concern, according to Rabbi Shimon, because the woman, as soon as the get is written, even if it wasn't given over, is entitled to get back a nechsim melod. And therefore there's no concern that the husband should be allowed to continue eating it. But according to the concern of Basa Chaisai, why doesn't Rav Shimon disqualify a predated get? Amlach Rav Yochanan, answers Rav Yochanan, I'll leave it to Rav Shimon like Kamina. My explanation did not go according to Rav Shimon. According to Rav Shimon, certainly the reason for writing a date, a get, is only because of the husband not legally profiting from his wife's malug property. And a predated get doesn't represent that concern, because according to Shimon, from the date that the get is written, the wife is indeed entitled to the property. Kika, I mean, my entire explanation was going according to Rabbanon, who said that the reason is Shema Techapa Basa Chaisai. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we could understand the machloikis of Rav Shimon and Rabbanon and Mishnah. Haina the Ikaben Rav Shimon and Rabbanon. That's the machloikis between Rav Shimon and Rabbanon. The Rabbanon hold that a predated git is possible, is invalid, because Shema Techapa Basa Chaisai. Rav Shimon, who holds that a predated get is kosher, he says that the entire purpose of a date is to allow the woman to receive nichsim malug that were sold improperly. And in fact, any nichsim malug that was sold after the writing of the get would be considered having been sold improperly, because according to Rav Shimon, as soon as the get is written, the woman is entitled back to her nichsim malug. Ela Reish Lakish. But according to Reish Lakish, that says that everybody agrees that the purpose of a get is because of Peiris, my Ikaben Rav Shimon Rabbanon. How do we explain the machlok between Rav Shimon Rabbanon? Answers the Gemara very simply. The Peiris, who is entitled to the Peiris of the Nichsim Log, from when the get is written until it's actually given over. According to Rav Shimon, the wife is entitled to those Peiris. And therefore, even if the get was written on an earlier date, that's not considered anything improper, because that indeed is the date when the wife is entitled to get back the nechsei melug. But according to Rabbanon, the wife is only entitled to get back the nechsei melug on the date when the get is actually given over. So we're going to have a get that's written, that has a date of the writing, and the giving was later. The wife is going to say, I'm entitled to the nechsim malug, when she really isn't entitled to the nechsim malug yet, because she's not entitled to the nechsim malug until the get is actually handed over to her. Ask the Gemara, but if cheshaminullah, we heard just the opposite opinion of Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish, that ma'im esem etzin leperis, Rabbi Yochanan m'shas ksiva, Rabbi Yochanan says that the husband enjoys the malug only until the get is written. In the previous Gemara, it said Rabbi Yochanan says that the husband doesn't lose his right to the malug, nichsi malug, according to Rabbanon, until the get is given. And Reish Lakish says the opposite, mishas nesina. Here, Reish Lakish before said that the husband loses his rights to the nichsi malug from the time it's written or from when it was signed. And here it says that until it's given. So the Gemara, Epoch, we have to reverse the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say from the time of Nesina, does he lose the Peiris? And Reish Lakish says from the time of writing. Amalei Bar Rabbi Yosef. It says in a Braisa, Gimel Gittel Psulim, three Gitna Apostle. However, Mnesis of Lad Kosha. But if she did use such a get, she got married based on such a get, the child is a kosher child. So the question is, my ilucham v'takantam. If the get is anyway going to be kosher, why do they require a date? Answers the Gemara, answers Rabbi Yosef, hahanad l'chatchila l'aytanase. The Chazal l'chatchila said the woman can't get married based on a get that's not dated, and therefore people will not write such a get l'chatchila. Ask the Gemara, Gazil is man the day. But what happens because after getting the get, where we know that the Seifrim and the Edom are going to be careful to write a date, Gazil is man the day, he cuts out the date, V'yavanila, and he gives her the gate. Mai, what will be the halacha? The halacha will be that the get is kosher. So then what have the Chazal accomplished with their rule that a get has to have a date? Malay, so answer the Lamai Lachshinan. We're not concerned that people are not going to do something so obvious that a get has a date and he's going to manipulate the date.
The halach is, ask the Gemara, Kasva Shvua. Instead of writing the exact date, he only wrote what Shemitah in the Yovel cycle we're up to. Or he wrote Shana, what year we're in. Chodesh, what month we're in. Shabbos, what week we're in. But he didn't write the exact date. What is the halacha? Mai, Amalei. So Rabbi Yosef said to Abaye, the get is kosher. So he asks him, Omai ilucham betakantam, if the purpose of the date is as we learned earlier, because we're concerned that the woman might have had an adulterous relationship, or we're concerned about the payrus, we should have to have an exact date. Just saying what Shemitah we're in, or what week or month we're in, shouldn't be good. We should have to have a much more exact date. Answer the Gemara, when we write what Shemitah we're in, we do at least accomplish Ahani l'shvu de kamei l'shvu de basrei. We at least accomplish that we know that it, in the previous Shemitah, he was still married, and the subsequent Shemitah, he's no longer married. Diloy Taimacha, the fact is we never have to be perfectly exact. Because Yom Gufei, we go back to the best case, where somebody writes a get and signs the get all in one day. Do we know exactly what hour that get was written in the morning of the evening? Ella, what we do know is the Yom of the Kameh, the Yom of the day before this get, they were still married. The Yom of the Basrei, the day after, they're certainly not married. Even though we can't actually identify when on the date of the get they were divorced. So here too we accomplish with the date, the Shvur the Kameh, the Shvur the Basrei, for the Shemitah before and the Shemitah afterwards, that they were still married, the Shemitah before and not married, the Shemitah afterwards. Rashi and Rashba say that such a get that only has the date of the Shemitah is a get that's kosher l'chatchila. However, the Rambam holds that if you don't have the exact date on which the get was written, even though Rabbi Yosef is telling us that the get is kosher, it's only kosher b'diavad.